It's me, Howe, and welcome. This is the Casket Tape Podcast. Podcast that's going to take a deep but inevitably shallow dive into the world of cycling. But I've got someone sitting across me who knows a shitload more than me. Self-described Aussie battler. That's in his Instagram bio. But I want to say this bloke, for him lately the last week, when it rains, it pours, Jensen Plowright, a dual stage in the Tour of Qinghai. And that's where we're recording from, a beautiful hotel room here in Qinghai. A beautiful hotel in the center of Menyuan.
And your comments on the town?
Oh, stunning, mate. Beautiful town. It's honestly quintessentially rural China. It has a little bit of everything. What's your take on
seriously,
it?
Seriously, I like these towns that no tourists ever go to. A, because you find very niche little shops with random stuff in them. I've also bought two of those like meat chopping knives.
You're going to be able to get those back to France?
Well, I've got them in my suitcase. I'm not sure. They are massive. I'll have to give you a look later.
You're going to get a little John Darm pull that out later on.
Through an alleyway and out the back into just some random market area in the back of a shop. Cheap as chips. Cost me €9 for a beautiful knife.
I'd love to know the quality of knife. If you get an independent assessment.
We're talking about things being made here and back home and never the best quality.
No. But I tell you what is good quality though, mate, is your two victories, hey?
Yes.
Opening day in Shenning. How's your pronunciation, by the way, of the beautiful Chinese city that we've been in, hey?
I've been calling it Shenning Zinning because it starts with an X, which has been poor on my behalf. I've never really tried. And we don't even see the town names or anything. We don't really care.
You wouldn't.
When you're in France or Belgium, you never check. You don't know where you are.
It's day one, day two, day three. You know? Exactly. And, what is today like?
Yeah, look at the profile. Yeah, that looks hard. Back at it again.
You've given some beautiful answers in your press conference. When we're in China, for context, I work for the race. And a lot of the grabs that we want to get are generally focused on promoting the region. Now, like, tell me, what was it like having that first professional victory?
Really nice.
Yeah.
It's been a while coming. And it hasn't been the smoothest 18 months joining the team, been trialing new things and trying to find what works for me. And I think I've come across a good little training and nutrition, and seems to be working really well for me. So the results have come now, which is sweet. And it feels fucking good.
I bet it must, to be honest, mate.
Yeah.
That training and nutrition, it's balancing out with the whatever we're drinking here at the moment. How do you say that, mate? It's a can of white and green.
Tao.
What was that?
Tao.
Yeah, that could be the the crack. Maybe Sato. That's what I'm going to run with. I'll ask my driver on the way back home.
You have heard
my
a bit more Chinese than I have. So.
Every day, mate, I get some good pronunciation practice with the region, the names, the officials. Yeah. It keeps me on my toes. But, mate, it's exceptional to have you. Particularly, it made my job a lot easier when you won that first day to get the ball rolling. I was pretty excited being the Australian commentator here in China. My second time here in Qinghai, and last year was a bit bleak on sort of English-speaking winners.
True.
But you guys here as a World Tour team,
mate,
you've made your way over to China.
Seriously,
it is the first time for a non-World Tour race.
I'm surprised the team would come over here anyway, just because Belgians, they're not the most exciting people.
They're not.
They are very...
How do you describe you?
Straight and narrow, aren't they?
They certainly can be. One-line answers a lot of the time.
Yeah. Straight to the point, black and white, which is good. But I'm glad they've come to this race. I mean, it's given us a good opportunity and good fun. I love going on these like international races because they're just
different.
Good time with it's just different challenge, different culture.
Not to mention the little cash. It's mondoulis that can come out of these beautiful little races in China that you sort of walk away from. I don't know what the payroll's like at Alpes Nord, maybe what the French races, the Belgian races pay, but I dare say I reckon the Chinese races are the US dollar on the front. It's not bad, mate.
They do put out some good prize money. It's the first thing we look at when we look at the race book is the prize money page.
And every day it just keeps falling open to that, hey, at the team meeting. It just keeps on falling. You know, Jens Kukulea tries to open it up to stage five and it just opens up to, that page, doesn't it?
Oh. Yeah, you look at the stage and you're like, oh, green jersey's looking pretty close. Oh, we'll keep going for that because, there's 10 grand there and that'd be really nice. So it's, again, good motivation.
It certainly is, I dare say, particularly when you've got the boys on the front putting a hell of a lot of effort in. And look, you won on stage one. You won on stage four?
Five.
Five, yes. It's been a long tour already.
Yeah, it has been.
And, the day after, you were so close. For context, it was this hard day. Went up to altitude early, stayed there. And then it was at one Category 3 climb that realistically, at altitude, was just...
What are we talking? Nearly 4,000 metres?
Yeah, it altitude. Peaked out at around 3,900. Yeah. And then it was this fast descent down. And the Spanish boys' car, they were on one. With the Astana boys as well.
Yeah, it was crosswinds across the top as well. And at altitude, I was suffering like a dog for 2 hours coming to that last climb. And... Yeah, pretty much blew tit straight at the bottom, and I just had to pace the climb and hope that we could bring it back on the descent. But the front group was too well organized. They knew I was in the next group.
Mm. Bingo were riding hard. They knew. They had one bloke, and he was got the tick on the shoulder or the call in the ear and was like, mate, this is your moment. Time to shine. I was watching the descent, and they were just pushing so hard downhill. But you gained time downhill. So how fast were you going?
We were booking. Seriously, I thought I was looking around. We had a few like guys that would have been mid-70s. I'm 80 kegs, so I go downhill pretty quick. And I was helping out as much as I could. But yeah, they still didn't. We still couldn't. The closest we got was 29 seconds. So we brought
them back. Maybe you finished 30 seconds down. You were so close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by that point. For me, it's a balance of investing in bringing it back and saving enough to do a sprint, a proper sprint.
Because it was proper guys there, like Enrico Zanoncello from Bardiani.
Yeah, he climbs well.
And he should have won that day, realistically, in my opinion. Yeah, he
should have won.
Oh,
he should have won that day, yeah.
He underestimated little drag up to the up to the finish line, rather. Yeah. And the Italian Davide Pesco knocked him off, and Zanoncello, as soon as he crosses the line, he's he's banging the bar, he's not happy,
fuming, and those Italians can complain, can't they?
He kicked off. And the beautiful thing about here in China is that they have to go 1-2-3 for the podium, which in the rest of the world no one ever does.
Yes,
so it's true. Like, you know, you're sitting there, the stage victor is always the last to make it into this little huddle area where they have the presentation, the riders come. And, you know, it's so funny. Like, the days you've come in second and third, just sit there miserably.
Oh, it would be torture. If you've got all the pressure from your team and you really want to deliver and you come second, it would just be tears in there almost.
Yeah.
And they're not stoked. Like, you're trying to have a chat to them because you're pretty stoked that you win, but they're just, like, giving you pretty short answers. Yeah.
Look, mate, still one more opportunity here at Qinghai. As we're making this recording, it's end of stage 7.
It's a good point. Looks grippy
on
the profile, but I think we can make it over. But again, it's probably going to be a bit similar to today. Really possible that a big group goes, and then it's really hard for the team to control. They've worked pretty hard the last 2 days trying to make it a bunch sprint, but
the boys, they're in the shadow realm, are they?
Yeah, we've got some sore boys cruising around our place. So, sort of running out of legs a bit. I still feel all right, but I've done fuck all. I've just been sitting on.
Well, what about the learning curve for yourself, though? Sometimes you just got to win. And then when you win, you get that experience. That's exactly right. Yeah, and I feel like for sprinters, that's the case.
It's more the confidence. And once you do it, then you're like, I know how to do it again. That wasn't too bad. When you're just on the back foot a little bit, always just missing it, or like you just get chopped in the last bit, or someone
has a day out to remember, you know, someone hits out a K to go, and then you bring them back,
and you keep trying all these different things, and then finally it all comes together. You know it's going to come together eventually, but it just takes a little bit longer than you want it to, and then you find some real confidence, and then you feel like you can control the team a bit more and put your input in, and then that helps you even more, so gives you even more opportunity, I guess.
Yeah, because cycling's that weird sport where the leader of the day or the captain in the team, he needs to just stand up in the morning, you know, despite feeling maybe absolute dog shit, and go, righto boys, like, today's the day. Like, it's a sprint opportunity. We've had four stages at altitude. Today's the day. Pull the brake back. Give me a chance. Like, that's hard to just pick up straight off the back.
You feel cruel just watching your teammates ride all day, and then we didn't even make it today, and they rode for 150K, full noise.
For context, today was a flat Tish day. Still climbed up to 3,800 meters. Yeah. Probably the easiest day maybe on the parkour. But the big break went.
Yeah,
I want to say like 15 or so riders. They went up the road, and it was a fast tailwind, fast road in, and they stayed away. But your boys were pulling. And were lent on by the whole peloton.
Yeah, exactly. We started with two instantly. And we sort of wanted to bring it... We actually wanted to bring it back, but they had 15 chopping off on that road, and it's not like it's straight uphill, so everyone can work. Bit of a tailwind. That gets demoralising because your guys are going pretty much full noise and the gap's still going out. So that kicks you in the guts a bit, and then you sort of relax. You go, all right, guys, we're going to have to let them... Give them 3 minutes... Hopefully they start burning bickies or looking around or just
start
looking at each other. There was three Italians in there. I thought seriously they would just start looking at each other. They love sitting on. they hate working. So I was pretty confident that they'd start fucking around a bit too much and we would end up bringing them back. But yeah, in the end they committed really hard and kudos to them, I guess. They worked together well the whole day and to hold off three teams chasing in the end.
I'm impressed you got that sentence out, mate. Most sprinters just, I don't want a bar of hearing the breakaway win, mate. They just want to, oh, no, move on. Yeah. But no, you're right. To be honest, I was watching a little bit of the broadcast when it kicked in and there was lots of communication in the break.
Yeah.
Positive communication, which I was like, whoa, this is... Mm. Boardroom meetings were going on in there and they were productive, you know? The minutes were being acted on.
Mm.
And yeah, you guys were working bloody hard, you know? But what was the... What was the chit-chat like in the pillow? Were you like, oh, to Bingal, the other Belgian team who won yesterday, and then to Tartaletto? Were you like, was there a little bit of, you know, maybe WeChat, WhatsApp going behind the directors, boys?
Oh, for sure. There would have been a few phone calls going on in the cars, trying to sort out who's going to help chase it. But in the end, we only had Bingal and Caja Ruel.
Yeah, yep. They were impressive.
They've been strong all week. They have been very impressive. For a bunch of skinny guys?
Mate, they were ripping today. Hard. Yeah. They did not miss a turn. I want to say they didn't miss a turn. Did they not miss a turn?
I don't think they did. Only when they stopped for a piss. Which, Jesus Christ.
For reference, Car, if you're not following this race, because there's a big race going on, I understand. Mm. But Car Rual, they have the yellow leaders jersey, the ICBC yellow leaders jersey here at the Tour of Qinghai Lake. Mate, they've actually been pretty good at sign on every morning as well. One of their blokes speaks good English, I just snag him every morning, and he knows the deal now. He's only got one more day to put up with me.
Oh, yeah.
But nah, it's been bloody good. The Tour of Qinghai, maybe the oldest race in China and potentially Asia, I want to say. I want to put that in there. You've been keeping one eye on July at all? One eye on the tour, rather?
Yeah, a little bit. It's like being back in Oz, basically. You're in the same time zone, actually, aren't you? Back in Perth.
I am. It is easy to watch the tour in Perth.
It is a lot better. But
you're Victorian, hey?
Being from Melbourne, you don't really watch bike racing at all. I didn't really watch bike racing until I moved over to Europe.
Really?
Didn't give a shit about it.
So are you a cycling nuffy? Are you into it?
I am getting better at it. I know the names of few of my competitors, but I am pretty oblivious to most of it.
Which is a good way to be, I reckon.
I kind of like it. But it is kind of good to know like the strong riders and what they're good at. It does help a bit.
Well, a bit of research, huh? You put that down on the timesheet at the end of the week, huh?
Yeah. Now I've got a few mates in the peloton. It's good. So I know who they are. But everyone I don't really talk to, I don't really care about.
Which is a good way to be honest, mate. I find cycling can just be like an all-consuming sort of world. And I feel like it is, like you said earlier, the races like here in Qinghai, they can take you out of sort of the European bubble, and they can sort of showcase that you don't need to maybe per se follow everything in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, how much of the Tour de France have you watched?
To be honest, sweet FA, my VPN over here has been causing trouble, and it makes it work hard, not going to lie. But from that on in, like, I don't know, I'm not caught up with it that much, unless there's riders who I am good friends with. Like, I'm good friends with Benny O'Connor,
yeah.
Perth boy, Jai.
You got the same haircut as him, actually.
Well,
and you got slots sticking out of your ears, don't you?
We do too, mate. But nah, look, it is something that, like, unless I'm following riders that I know and love, I do kind of maybe put the cue on the rack a little bit and go, nah. Or I pick and choose my battles in terms of staying up late to watch a stage.
Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't racing, I think I would have stayed up and watched a few extra stages. Probably more so that gravel day would have been really good to watch. Oh, apparently, that was very exciting.
Went off. What are your thoughts on it, the grav?
I like it. I think it's, yeah, I don't know, throw a fucking grenade in the fellow, mate. I want to see it hit the fan a little bit for a few riders in that.
Yeah, okay, and the cobbles as well, and yeah, the grandies, just, you know, push that little bit into
why
the...
Why not, yeah. Eh? It's just... Yeah. It's, if you win the Tour de France, you're pretty all-round good bike rider, aren't you? You're not just a good climber.
Oh, well, you know...
Nowadays...
Poggy's right up there in the classics if he wants to
they're be. They're in the crosswinds, in front group, second group.
Yeah, they don't miss, do they?
Exactly.
They don't miss. Or if exactly. they do, they just, you know, and I say they, the big four or three is what's becoming the two now with Jonas, Roglic going home.
So crash a lot.
Rough. Yeah. But, yeah, those blokes, if they need to get to the front, they just go.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary. Yeah. They just decide, like, now's the time, man.
They are just... a step above everyone else, and that's the thing. They are just built different, genetics, they're impressive. But I mean, if you put everyone in the world in the sport of bike riding, you'd have a full peloton full of those guys.
Yeah, you would.
But you got to get that mixture of people that like to ride bikes and have the genetics. And then that's the four.
Right, so there. The pro peloton's made up of blokes who just like to ride bikes. You're probably right in saying that.
And talented.
Yeah,
you need the talent. Any guy in the pro peloton is talented. I don't care what you say.
Freakishly talented. Yeah. The level's gone up. Hey.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Scary. Because I dare say that's flowed on to even second tier races.
Every tier. It is. You talk to Ramon and he's like, man, if I did 500 watts for 3 minutes, half the peloton would be gone. These days, everyone's there.
All the boys are there. They're lined up. They're ready to counter.
You go and race like Antalya in Turkey.
Mm.
And everyone gets over the climbs. And you're like, what the fuck? These kids are just... Everyone's got the information. And that's like
scary.
The nutrition and the bikes and the everything. So that's why the level's stepped up.
I feel like it makes the sport a little bit unattainable. You know, like, you came through the grassroots. You were a Victorian man. You would have been what was your club? Were you a Caulfield?
I was Hawthorn.
There you go. So you're the rarity, I reckon. I reckon all I hear about it is when you watch the tour, you're the grandies. You hear the Caulfield Cycling Club.
Yeah.
The SBS team. Shout out. They love it. They love it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, you came through the NRS ranks. You were Drapac Conti.
I did the proper route, I reckon.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I rode for Total Rush back in the day, just a bike shop team, and then I did Drapac Conti, and then I moved overseas with a Conti team, the French Conti team, F2J.
Yeah, but hold up, before then, you made a jump to Bridgelane.
I forgot. Sorry.
Good journalist over here who's done his research, mate. You went through the ACJ factory.
And sorry, ACJ, if you're listening. I forgot about you 2 years I spent with you.
You're going to receive a rude email tomorrow morning. A little WhatsApp, hey?
And while I remember it, I do owe you €10.
It's in his book.
Yeah.
I've heard from Betty. It's in my notes. It's in his ledger.
So I did 2 years with Bridgelane as well, and we come over to Europe once because COVID interrupted the other year.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you came through.
That's a rough period too.
Your generation's the generation that... You had to really scrap or stay in hanging tough. My flag was down before then. I was out of NRS, and that was the period
that it switched to being like everyone was incredible through COVID. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the injection.
Because you hear a lot of like guys who they came out of COVID and the racing was just frantic.
Yeah.
Like just next level.
Yeah.
Was everybody scrapping for everything.
Yeah.
Maybe a realization that, you know, professional sports is such a precarious lifestyle, such a precarious career.
True. And I mean, everyone wants that contract. And now I just get got that much harder.
Yeah. It is hard, though, for Aussies to come across, you know? Like, you're in a big team. You're in Appleton to Koenig now. You guys were, the best pro Conti team. Now you're one of the top World Tour teams. It's pretty impressive how I reckon your team's gone about it. Kind of latched onto sort of the curtails and the fortunate signing of maybe Mathieu van der Poel.
Yeah, I mean, it is basically his team, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. What's it like then? He's the boss. He's at the camp. He's, you know, the...
I don't see much of him, eh?
Yeah.
I'm at the wrong races.
Yeah, different races.
I'm just not good enough, basically, but...
Yet.
Maybe one day I'll end up racing with him.
Yet.
Or Philipson. Yeah.
It's a big build-up, which brings me on to another question. Like, are you going to do a grandy this year?
Not this year. We're running out of grandies, aren't we?
There's one left?
Yeah, there is one left, but definitely not down for it. It would be nice.
The Vuelta, yeah, go on.
Have you seen three sprint stages?
I haven't looked at the parkour.
Ignore a couple of maybes.
Yeah, right.
That's rough, isn't it?
That is grim. Grand Tours seem to be getting harder and harder.
Yeah, they are.
But who was case in point this year?
Yeah. Yeah, but everyone's getting better and better as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. But what about, like, you know, like you are teammates with, say, one of the best sprinters in the world, and I imagine you guys have a pretty good sprint sort of core group in your team.
It is a classics team. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Any teachings you've been able to take out of maybe Jasper Philipsen's brain?
No, I haven't really talked to him about it at all, but I'd probably talk to Caden first as a fellow Aussie, but I haven't really talked to them much. Coaches put in their two bobs worth.
They do. Every coach needs to justify a contract. But
exactly.
What's Caden? Because his journey's been... You know, like, you guys are pretty similar riders. Maybe you were maybe, a year or two sort of behind on the linear growth.
Yeah.
If you want to put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. We're a similar build and he's got a pretty impressive engine.
Oh, he's a weapon. He win stage in the Catalunya. Yeah. That was, you know, bleak, grim.
Well, when he got
him down rain and then got the boys on the front. And
he's an impressive rider and he's... got an incredible engine, which is what I want to build up at the moment. That'll probably be... That's been this year's job, building the engine, getting that threshold up to standard, which is where everyone's is just ridiculous now, so...
Oh, yeah, you say that, but you take away the freaks. You take away, you know, the Bentallings. You take away the Tadays and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And you go like, okay, have a look at the rest of cycling and all its history, and it is an incremental growth.
Mm.
In the first couple of years in the Neo Pro, and you've got one more year in your contract, so a little you got wiggle room up your sleeve and that ability to be able to latch into that period and have a go.
I think I'll build the engine's coming, mate. It's all right.
In the mail.
Yeah, it's all right. It's coming.
The plough will deliver.
I'm feeling pretty good at the moment.
Oh, I like to hear that, hey. And we could top it up with another stage win. And what is on your nice. Mate? Oh, the bank account probably would like it as well.
We would enjoy it. It's looking pretty bleak at the moment. Just bought a rocket.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which one?
R58, the fucking bougie one.
They are delightful. Yeah.
You got a rocket as well?
Nah, mate. I'm a Facebook marketplace hound, and I'm always keeping an eye on when one sort of is floating around. I would be.
I tell you what, the dual boiler is a game changer.
It's good, hey.
Especially when you want to make brews for a few people.
Yeah, you got to get through them, mate. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Are you living by yourself, or you've got a?
I'm living with Rudy Porter.
Oh, yeah.
Also
okay.
from Melbourne. So, yeah, I've been living with him for the last year and a half. But at the moment, he's got a iliac artery issue.
Yeah.
Which has been quite common recently, I think.
It's become more pronounced, hasn't
it? Yeah.
It's.
So he's back in Melbourne at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm home alone, and he's got a bit of a knee issue. Basically, he needs to rejig. He needs to fix himself up.
Yeah. Reset, refresh, then come back to Europe and tackle it on, huh?
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Ruben Porter, class rider. Class rider.
Strong as an ox.
Yeah, yeah. God, I don't know if I don't want to live with someone who's like that talented. You'd come through and you're
the problem
you've
is I can't train with him.
Which is a good thing, maybe.
Yeah, I go for a ride with him. He just fucking swords me all day. So it's just horrible.
Oh, puts you to the sword. Yeah. Straight to the shadow realm, the TSS.
That's some dark times.
Oh,
so
very good.
Just got a mutual agreement that we don't train together, which makes it nice because then you come home and you've got something to talk about. And
balance act of life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
very different. Very different than your regular housemates back in Vic, I could imagine. If you got all the boys back there in Victoria, you know, my mates all live in WA in share houses. It's we're around that age where it's...
Yeah, true. Exactly.
Did you know, though? So, in this tour, I was scouring the start list. Good journo that I am. And Felix Mayo for the Maiola push bike, the German team.
Yeah.
Pretty sure his old boy was Rocket. His old boy was the Rocket Espresso.
Really?
Yeah. He's the man. Yeah.
Big horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was
sold it, didn't he?
He did. He moved
on. I thought he was Aussie, though. Because Felix is his Kiwi.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's a Kiwi. No.
But everyone takes a mickey out of him and tells him that he's Aussie. And he hates it.
Yes, absolutely. There you go. There's the punchline. Because, he's getting around with the Conti team, the Maiola boys.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've done anything of this tour except maybe have a chat with me at sign-on every now and then. They're trying. Yeah. Good on them. Good shout. Yeah. Good on them for, you know, I think they've still got a full cohort leading into one last stage. But
they've lost a few boys. They lost another one today.
Oh, they have. Oh, there you go. That
they're looking pretty sore as well. Dinner table, apparently. Poor buggers.
I could not fathom it. Hey, getting around these sort of races, it's hard because there's a lot of good riders come to this race, get results. Like Benny O'Connor, I'm pretty sure 2015. Navitas Saddles, he came here. He was around the 10th. Then he went to the ACJ Sports Factory.
Yep.
And went to Savoir and went onwards to Dimension Data. So
yeah, sure. It's I don't know how long this race has been going on for, but
mate, neither did I.
Super cool.
Yeah, you reckon you could see it well tour?
I'd be back.
You'd be back?
Yeah, absolutely.
The altitude, no dramas.
Tell you what, the altitude's a game changer. It's the only problem is that you have to do a bit of prep before you come here.
What was your prep?
I got a altitude tent from a friend, but I don't think it was working for the first 5 days or first week.
So you're sleeping in the little plastic sweat box.
I had the thing cranked. And just like, you're sleeping in the nutty basically with the fan. It's super hot in there. It's a horrible experience. So I must have just been doing heat work for the first week. And then I borrowed another one from Dave Tanner.
Dave Tanner.
I think that was working. It must have worked because I got here and my SPO2 wasn't too bad.
You got here. Because you went out and you did a few climbs. Like for reference, the capital of Qinghai, Xining, is 2,200?
And you
didn't feel it straight away? You were like, oh, this is all right?
Whoa. You notice it pretty quick. As soon as you walk up a set of stairs or something,
oh, mate,
not the bike riders are any good at walking upstairs, but you notice it instantly, don't you? You get to the top and you're just on basically all fours, just puffing.
Went for a few. I've been doing a few runs, trying to do a little bit.
I'm glad... Now you know exactly how it feels.
The first run, I reckon I did. I was creeping, breathing through a straw. Did like 5K. Young Spanish journo I'm running with. She just torched me.
Really?
Like, just put me to the sword. Hey, like, she spends a lot of time in the Pyrenees and all that jazz.
Oh, there you go.
But like, oh, mate. Like, she's like 5 foot. And she just dropped me. Just dagged me out of the
ass. Do you think having a smaller frame or less muscle mass you need to get oxygen to? Because that big Russian bloke from Astana... got hooped on day one when it was flat as a tack.
He just wanted a quick ticket home, didn't he? Hey, maybe that was the case. Hey, because he was going to be... It was you and him, stage one.
Yeah.
That was sort of, you know, the thriller in Manila.
Exactly.
The battle that was expected. And what, lap two? Call came over the radio.
Yeah.
Just like, done.
I just get the radio call. Oh, yeah. That Russian Astana bloke, he's just gone back through the convoy. Sweating. I'm like,
it was hot.
Are you fucking joking? I've averaged 180 watts for the last 20 minutes. And that was it. I averaged 153 watts for that stage. And nearly 50k an hour.
For reference, a circuit stage around the capital city, we're talking 120k's. We're on 9 laps. There's a few intermediates along the way. A brake got up.
Yeah.
And you blokes just, rode it back. He was reeling in a big fish, a little fish, you know, just taking your time.
Yeah, which is how you want it to be. And we basically nailed it.
You did?
It was good. Great day, but not hard at all, which is a bit annoying if as a maybe a stronger rider because you have so many fresh guys that they're just like, oh, yeah, I can do a turn. Oh, man, I'm going to rip their legs off. And they get so excited and...
Or a lot of guys who go like, if I win or I podium on the day, the first day, the easiest day, then that makes our tour, we can get our heads kicked in for the next week.
And doesn't matter, does it?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Like
the Polish boys here, I don't even know how to pronounce the team. They've tried to tell me, but geez, it's a mouthful. But they have been...
You've
got
to say it at every presentation, don't you?
No, I've actually haven't, hey. The whole week, I have not.
The boys from Poland.
As long as I get the Chinese names right, it's all good here. Yes. It's all rosy. How's your Chinese, though?
It's terrible. I've been doing Duolingo.
Have you actually? The Mandarin, the Chinese Mandarin to Duolingo?
The Chinese Duolingo, just for shits and gigs.
That's more than me.
And I've picked up mi fan, which is rice. Café, coffee.
Yeah, very easy.
Cha, tea.
Are you on the teas over here? You're drinking tea?
I'd feel like a tea in the afternoon before bed, but it's all got caffeine in it, so I don't want it.
It's hard work. I learned my lesson last year being at this race that there is not a drop of coffee in the working hotel.
Have you got coffee in your hotel?
Mate, I did this year. I packed the AeroPress and I was prepared. Oh. The Spanish Journo, the Dutch fella here who's with Pro Cycling Stats. Yeah, they're knocking on my door every morning, hey.
They'll be frothing, eh?
Oh, yeah. Otherwise it's a long day. It's a long day in the van.
We've got these... They've got this like automated coffee machine thing which spits out the sweetest coffee in the world. And they've got coconut coffee, warm orange juice.
Yeah, questionable.
It's so strange. I've been getting the coffee out of that thing and then putting some quick mix coffee in it, stirring that around, and it tastes all right.
Because it's so sweet. What have you been having at brekkie, though? Have you dived into the local delicacies that have been on display at certain buffets? Because it's all, for listeners, it's all Chinese food, but it's also Qinghai specific Chinese food.
If the race wasn't here, I mean, normally it'd be a lot different. I was at Guangzhou last year and I stayed one extra night at the hotel, and the food was completely different when all the riders pissed off. It was straight back to all the Chinese food. But I've tried a few things, very spicy, which I don't mind. And basically just been eating pasta.
Oh, you guys at least get pasta here. Yeah. At the workers' hotel, mate, it'll be an extravagant array. There are some very questionable... Like, for example, we're very inland at the moment. Like,
yes.
The middle of Asia, I want to say. Like, or maybe not. I don't know. Someone can correct me.
There is. We're a long way from a fish.
I reckon wherever we've gone, there's been fish on the menu. Hey, and I just go, mate, I'm not going anywhere near that.
It's been shit for at least 3 days, hasn't it?
Well, last year, the Norwegian boys, I reckon it was day 3, they were just hitting the buffets. Yeah. They were hitting the local street food. And day 4, they were in strife. They were using the bus, the toilet bus before the start of every day and at the finish.
Yeah. Grim. By the way, toilet bus, all squats, squat toilets. Yep. And I don't have the balls to try it.
You don't want it ending up in your nicks, ho?
That's what I was thinking. And then you got your race food in your pockets. You got the radio in the... Also in the kit, you'd have to be on your last legs to use it, wouldn't you?
Nah, look, shout out. I've conquered it. I've figured it out. I've got a technique to it.
The Chinese squat.
I've got a technique to it. Hey, you've got to... It's a clean exit. I can't believe this is what the first podcast is, dropped down to, but it's a clean exit. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
Toilet paper as well.
Oh, no, I ask. The guys...
they haven't?
Yeah, you just ask the boys at the front. The two fellas don't speak a word of English. But if you make the sign, there's a signal of like, you know...
I thought they didn't have it because when you do the Chinese squat, you're quite exposed. And it was such a clean cut that you never needed it.
Yeah, but I'm not risking sitting in a van for the next 4 hours.
with a turd wedged in between your cheeks.
bleak scenes here, two of Qinghai. Jensen Playwright, Tom McCracken, Casket Tapes. Righto, mate. Look, this podcast, it's day 7. The fatigue's probably hitting me more than it's hitting you at the moment. You seem pretty fresh. I'm pretty cracked. I'm ready for a caprese salad or something to get home to. You're flying out on Monday the same time.
Yeah, I reckon.
Back to Xining.
I'm feeling all right because I got 8 hours sleep last night, whereas the day before I only got 5 because I was so G'd up about winning.
You were up and about, hey? How'd you blokes celebrate?
Well, I just had a beer and...
Oh, yep, just a cold one.
I had less beer than I've had now But we only got one day to go.
And to tomorrow's a day that sort of sits on the precipice. A few climbs early, then you go up to altitude, and then you sort of drop back down to this beautiful city, Menuen. I'll tell you what, it is nice.
Beautiful city.
Yeah, well, at least this street is anyway. I'll tell you what, the mountains that surround this city, I'll describe it. We've got mountains right up into the peak. Menuen sits, I want to say, at around 3,000 metres.
Yep.
And the it's a sort of an overcast day with the mountains shrouded in cloud. But the streets are alive. People are out running. I've seen all the Swannies going about their business. It seems like a lot of their day is done. The mechanics, they're still slogging away, though. Mate, they are maybe the hardest working blokes on the tour.
Fuck, man. They're just sitting in the bus all day, don't they?
Oh, look.
They go all right. I think they got a reasonably... I think everyone's got a pretty even shift, to be honest. The mechanics work in the afternoons, and there's one sitting in the car. That'd be a rough job. They haven't had to do much this week. So far,
you blokes have been fortunate. Touch wood, that stays the same.
We have had a good week so far as mechanical issues go. And then, the Swannies probably have the roughest gig, I reckon. It's well, not this tour, because we don't have feed zones.
Mm.
We've only had feed zones on two stages.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I tell you what, both times there have been feed zones, I've had all the Swannies come up to me.
Yeah.
And I've been like, where's the feed zone? Like, me, the bloke on the stage in the morning. Oh. Like, I've got no idea. I get a lot of questions about a lot of things with the race, logistics, and I'm not the person for those questions.
I'm just here to talk at the start.
Oh, dribble absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with the feed zones historically have just been all downhill when you're going about 70 clicks. And this year been better, but they've only gone twice because there's only been two super long stages, and the rest of the time you can just go back to the car or suffer through it. It's been, they have to wait for the last rider to come through, and the bus picks them up or the bus continues.
Mm.
And they have to sit behind the last rider of the day.
The broom wagon.
The broom wagon.
Have you seen that broom wagon?
Has it been full yet? I'm surprised it hasn't been more full, to be honest, because there's been some rough days.
There have. It's been a challenging tour of Qinghai. Like, Jensen Flowerart, Alphas and Decorning, it's been bloody brilliant to have a bit of a chin wag with you. Just one last question. Your calendar for the rest of the year. It's a boring question, but I want to know.
Seriously,
you're a race
didn't,
at the time.
I didn't know until last night. But the only one I know now is Poland.
Ooh,
World Tour race. And it's only got like two sprint stages. Uphill TT and some hilltops.
Hard race.
Yeah. F in the chat. Doesn't sound good, eh? But hopefully we get some nicer races. It'd be lovely to finish in Guangzhou and then I'm nearly home, which is what I did last year.
Oh, you take the flight straight home?
Yeah.
Oh, pack the bags.
It is nice.
Bring the excess straight to Melbourne for summer.
Back for the dirty Warney and Offie, and we're gonna do a man and mate back home. We ran a marathon last year on zero training.
What? How?
Just
what? So were you just obliterated afterwards?
Oh, we were fucked. But it was more the fact that we just thought that anyone can do a marathon. It's not that hard.
And
hard. Proper hard. But now we're doing Melbourne Cup Day, so now we're going to redo it, but it's just going to be 24k because there's 24 horses in the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. And I reckon we'll do, maybe you're going to have like a six pack or something of beers.
A little beer.
During, you can either have them all at the start, run your race, or you can have them dribbled out or something. But everyone involved has to have a six pack or something.
Oh, that'll be good. That'll balance the ledger between the good runners and the good drinkers.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jensen Flowerart, we'll leave it there. I'll see you in Perth for Nationals.
Yes. Yes, you will. Ooh. That's going to be really good, isn't it?
Oh, I think it will, and I think you might enjoy the course a lot more than previous years from what my little reconnaissance has been occurring. So, it's been good. You've been listening to Cascade Tapes. Jensen Flowerart, Appleson Recording. He's broken through 2 stage victories as a professional. Plenty more to come.
Thanks for joining us.